Hello, welcome to North and South Podcasts. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at North Podcasts. Your support is very much appreciated. Please like, follow and share to turn this into a better thing for everyone. Today I'm talking to Sheila Byrne, who is the founder of a community organisation called Hope Street, which aims to provide mental health and community support services to people in the Ormskirk region of West Lancashire in the north west of England. I first met Sheila and her husband Dom at a Christmas store where they were spreading their message about Hope Street, and it's an organisation I've done a lot of close work with. I first asked Sheila why she started Hope Street.
Right, so in 2016 I became really ill after a nervous breakdown. And we found that there was no support in the Ormskirk area, particularly in affluent areas. There's a lack of support there. So if I wanted to access any services, I had to travel to Skemmersdale. And there were only services in the daytime. So I couldn't access them because at the time I didn't leave the house unaided. So I relied on my husband to do everything with me, even to bathe me. So that at that time, for me to go to a group on my own was just not plausible. So when I began to come out the other side, Dom came up with an idea. So Dom's my husband. He came up with an idea about setting up our own group that helps support people, but in an affluent area. And because of the difficulties we had, we said, in finding services that were of an evening, because there weren't any, we said, well, why don't we set up of an evening so people who work can come and carers can come as well? Because not only does the person suffering with their mental health suffer, but also their carers suffer as well. As you've probably seen the impact yourself, Tim, that it can have on your partner. So that's why we set it up initially. But for me, the premises had to be right as well. It had to be warm and welcoming, because services that I'd used weren't quite what I'd expect. It was in a cellar and it was cold. And the people were absolutely lovely there, and I got loads from it. But it was cold and damp, and I wanted our members to have more than that. So we sourced a venue and we found the venue that we wanted, and it worked well for quite some time until it was taken over in privately and we couldn't use it anymore.
So obviously you saw a gap in local provision. You had your own personal story behind that. Obviously, you know, you might not want to divulge yet, but you said that in 2016 you had some difficulties, and it was that which led to your husband actually coming up with the idea of setting up Hope Street. Is there anything else you want to say about your background or your story at this stage?
In 2015, I was going through something in work. It was workplace bullying. And I'd actually been through that previously, and it had me get to the point where I was doubting myself and saying, well, is it me? Because people keep bullying me. And it transpired that that was just the straw that broke the camel's back. I've been through a lot of childhood trauma. So for anyone who's heard of ACEs, Adverse Childhood Experiences, I've been through every single one that you could go through. So it's not surprising that I was actually quite vulnerable and subjected to bullying, because it generally that's a path that follows, and your outcomes aren't as good. You know, when you're in later life, you don't have good outcomes if you don't work on yourself when you're younger.
That background of adverse childhood experiences, they can have a profound impact on the rest of your life. And as you say, there's a lot of evidence to support that. We've had speakers in who've talked to us about that. We've also had people who come in who say that even if you haven't experienced ACEs, it's often these trauma with a small T rather than trauma with a capital T, the
the building up of that can produce problems later. But obviously 2015, 2016, it became quite acute for you, and it was your experience with or inability to access services that led to Hopestay being set up.
I would say the inability to identify that what I was going through was mental health.
Yeah.
And what I realise now looking back is I'd actually suffered with my mental health all my life.
But
you don't see it, and it wasn't as apparent and wasn't spoken about as much. Looking back now, I do see that all my life, even in childhood, I suffered with mental health.
Yeah. And one of the things I've noticed is certainly in recent years, it's much more openly discussed than it was. And I think we came from that similar kind of background where you don't talk about feelings and emotions. I remember when I was younger reading about mental health problems in the paper and thinking, who are these people like you were experiencing these things? And it was only really when it was 29 I experienced issues with mental health. Now, mental health, people think that people who have got problems have got issues with mental health. We often use that word as in mental health is a bad thing. Everyone has got mental health.
Oh, yeah.
And it's whether your mental health is good or not so good and what you can do to improve it. And it doesn't matter who you are, even if you haven't been diagnosed with a mental health problem, as it were. Mental health is something that and well-being that affects people every single day. And I think it is far more openly discussed now than it used to be. And I think that's a good thing. But as you say, there's a lot more work to be done if services can't be accessed or people still feel a reluctance to discuss it. It used to bandy around the figure that 1 in 4 people will have a mental health problem in their lifetime. I think the latest figure suggests 1 in 4 are now. And
that's 1 in 4 diagnosed.
Yeah.
And that's where statistics are quite not right. So the amount of people I speak to who say they have a mental health difficulty is absolutely bizarre, unbelievable. But you've got different levels of mental health, haven't you? So I would say we're all on the cusp of actually having a mental health difficulty. You know, it depends what we're subjected to in our life on a daily basis. And it's like a kettle that's ready to boil over. And, you know, if we don't build our resilience, then we actually, that kettle bubbles and bubbles. And each thing that happens to us, it bubbles and bubbles and bubbles until the kettle bubbles over and we break. And that's exactly what happened with me. My body just completely shut down to the point where I couldn't walk, couldn't talk. I was incontinent. Everything just shut down in my body. And that was my body's way of saying, you've had enough, you can't take any more.
Yeah, that's right. And I think even if people have had a bad day or they're having a bad time, that's something that's always going on in the background. And again, people cope with things in different ways. People have different support networks. People have different self-knowledge. People have different backgrounds, different experiences of adverse childhood experiences. There's so many things which are part of it. And yet, there's still this taboo, isn't there, that we don't discuss those things. And there's still this overriding belief that you are weak, A, if you experience these kinds of issues, and B, you want to discuss them with other people. And this is what we need to move beyond, this kind of idea that, oh, we don't talk about those things.
The thing I've found, Tim, is that people who have never struggled with their mental health don't want to hear it. They don't want to listen to it. They don't have the same compassion as people who've struggled with their mental health. And Dom, actually, before I had my breakdown, I remember him, some my friend's daughter took ill and with a nervous breakdown. And he said, I don't understand it. She's got nothing to worry about. She's a young girl. And you don't necessarily have to have anything to worry about. Mental health can hit anybody at any time in their life, regardless of whether you have anything to worry about or not.
I think the interesting thing as well with that is, although like some people don't want to discuss it, and some people don't want to hear it. Until I was 29, when I first experienced what I would call depression, I'd had issues with anxiety before that, but I didn't even have a word to describe it. It was like just, there's something wrong with me. I've got these strange feelings sometimes of anxiety. And then it was only after 29 when I read about depression and then anxiety with it that I thought, oh my God, I've been going through that. And it's like it was hidden in plain sight, but it was unacknowledged. And that's the thing that we need to get beyond. We need to be open and say, right, okay, here's an issue that I'd like to discuss. How can I get beyond it? That's what we need to get to, this kind of solutions-based approach to mental health. And first of all, that means talking about it, acknowledging.
I remember being at school and being the good little girl and chosen to go on a message for the teacher. You know, the good child always gets chosen, don't they, to go on a message for the teacher because they have that trust. And I remember knocking on this classroom door, but waiting outside for ages to knock because I was terrified of knocking on that door and the impact of knocking on that door would have on me. And then when I did knock on the door, I was shouted at for disturbing the lesson and I had to go in and all the children were looking at me in the class. And I remember the angst that brought about in me and going back to the class and I'd been longer than I should have been. And then getting the telling off for being longer. And I didn't have the words to explain what was going on. You know, that I was actually anxious about doing that job, even though it was supposed to be a privilege, I was anxious.
There's something very, very powerful about the ability of someone to say, sorry, I'm not feeling too good about this, or I'm feeling anxious about this, or to say, listen, I don't find this kind of thing easy. And even to yourself in relationships with your family, when people can be upfront and go, listen, I'm finding that difficult, can I have some help with that? For you to say, I feel a bit anxious about going to that other room, you know, the teacher might say, oh, I'll send someone else, or I'll send someone with you. And just that in your youth, that's important, isn't it, being able to find those words?
I think also, Tim, when I was brought up, in a very Victorian way. And the language was very negative. Little children should be seen and not heard. Only speak when you're spoken to. And the teachers were quite different. They were very old school, very strict. So being sent on a message like that was quite damaging for me, to be fair. And it might seem like nothing to anybody these days, but back then that was really difficult.
I think teachers back then, you know, it is different today, but back then I don't think teachers were really thinking about the mental health of their young people because it just wasn't something that was discussed. You just got on with it. They had their job to do and they were to be disciplinarians. And I think that's a societal thing. I think that Victorian label is quite a useful one, going well up into the 80s and 90s as far as I'm concerned. In terms of Hope Street then, what does Hope Street actually provide? Because although we've got one venue at the minute, which we use a lot, you do use multiple venues in and around the community. So what kind of things does Hope Street provide?
So for me, it's about having people comfortable out in the community again. So that was a big thing for me, getting out in the community and being around other people without feeling scared and without those difficulties of not trusting people. So with Hope Street, it's important that people realise when they come to use our services that they don't have to talk if they don't want to. They can come in and they can just sit there, have a cup of tea, have a biscuit, and when they're ready to talk, then they can talk. There's people come for months and they won't talk. There's people been coming for a year and they haven't spoken, and all of a sudden they start to become vocal. There's people who come on the first session, say they're not going to speak, and then by the end of the session you can't shut them up. And it's like, wow, that is amazing. But in terms of services, like we have, so I'll go through day to day, it's easier if I do that. On a Monday we have rock boxing, and that's in a local school, and that service is provided free by a local exercise coach. So we do that on a Monday. Tuesday is the peer support session. Now, the peer support session's built up of many different things, and that is built up of what people ask for. in terms of services. So people will say, for instance, they asked for music. So we brought Carousel in, and Carousel do singing, dancing and musical instruments with the group every Thursday. So we do that type of thing. So that's what Tuesday's for, to find out what people want and to put in place what people want. So on a Tuesday, we might do crafts, we might do arts, we might do music, we have guest speakers. You know, you've been along to many a session, Chris, Tim. So you know all the different things we do. The guest speakers always have lived experience of mental health. It's an important aspect of Hope Street that everybody who gives their input has experienced themselves of mental health. That's a big umbrella that we come under. Although we're all professionals, we all have our difficulties with mental health, or had difficulties with mental health in the past. So the service is just varied. So that's a Tuesday. Wednesday we have coffee afternoon, and that's at 1 o'clock in a local coffee shop. Wednesday evening's rock boxing again. Thursday is the music night, and yoga, therapy. We do a walk and talk in the summer months, in the lighter nights. Friday, people get together for a social social event. So I don't go to those, but a group of people get together and have a little social event for those who want the social aspect of life. Saturday, we're going to be starting the fishing group. And Sunday is walk and talk therapy. So we pretty much have something taking place every day that everyone can tap into according to what they enjoy.
Yeah. I mean, there are a number of services there that people can attend. You might say, I like this, you know, this is more my cup of tea. I mean, I go to the Tuesday meetings. I've got a young child. I work pretty much full time. But that Tuesday meeting, I've made that part of my routine because I really enjoy listening to other people's experiences, listening to guest speakers and some of the activities that we do. So I find that really, really useful. There's different people who run different things, and whatever you're interested in, you can pursue. People have discovered new things, new passions, and there's varying levels of support as well. So I think that kind of, you know, full week schedule, there's lots there for people to get involved with. And you know, the key thing is it's about getting people to come and see what they value and to access whatever they want to access. I think you mentioned as well you are thinking about expanding counselling and possibly looking at a hub. What's the latest with that kind of situation?
So we're working with another business. They're called West Lancs Counselling Services. And we're opening the hub this year. So the premises is with the solicitor going through at the moment. All the works have started. So that's going to be open, I'd say February, March this year. And when that opens, there's going to be a carousel of events on every day that people can tap into. There'll be counsellors at the hub, so there'll be no waiting lists. People will be able to drop in and have counselling, free counselling. So for those people who are struggling financially and can't afford to go out and pay for a counsellor, and the waiting lists are that long in services, they will have access to counselling services. We have our own mental health nurse as well. So she's available to do one-to-ones and care plans with people every week. We've also got therapists coming along to do holistic therapies with us in the hub. So that's a big thing that people enjoy, relaxation stuff, Reiki, meditation, yoga therapy, all the different things that people will not get through NHS services. It's called the social prescribing model. And basically that's what the NHS are moving towards this year. So as part of the NHS long-term plan, LCFT, Lancashire County Foundation Trust, are actually bringing social prescribing into the community, and there's pots of funding in order to enable this to go ahead, and it's going to go to small businesses. So Hope Street have actually applied for that, and we got through to the next stage. Now we've applied for the next stage, which is to get on the framework, and we've been put on asset mapping. So asset mapping means our services go out there to everybody, and the whole of the community find out what's going on in the area, in the whole of Lancashire, Northwest, and people can tap into our services and come for whatever they want to do. So say they're lonely and, you know, they want to just come along for the company, then they can do that. Say they identify as LGBTQIA+, then we've got a service starting on the 10th of January where people can join in with that. We went to the pantomime at Christmas, you know, we do everything basically that the community want. So we've got many different things in the pipeline for this year, family wellbeing days. So it's not just about the adults. So we're going to be tapping into the young people as well. So we've got a big event in St. Bede School this in January. I think it's the 24th of January, I think we've got in our diary. And that's open to the public to come along and just put a donation in the bucket towards Hope Street. Get your tickets on Eventbrite for that.
And is someone talking at that?
Yeah, we've got Chris Kirkland, who's going to be talking. We've got Paul Cope, who's the mental health strategist, transformational coach. And we've got Steve Warnock as well, who's ex-football player.
Used to play for Liverpool.
So, and we've got a doctor coming as well, and they'll all be on the panel alongside myself and some students from the school.
Brilliant.
With the head teacher and my husband from a lived experience perspective as a carer coming in with his experience of NLP as well.
That's excellent. That's neuro-linguistic programming, which is a way of changing your thoughts and your actions in relation to improving mental health. That sounds like a great event. I'm going to that. It's good as well, the link with the school, because I know my school has a full-time counsellor now, and wellbeing is very much front and centre. And I think that's another great positive thing, that young people are finding out about these things from a much younger age. I think, you know, what you said there about Hope Street is it's not just about mental illness. It's also, there's a mental wellbeing aspect where people who are lonely, people who are interested, we have people who are retired coming along, can come along and access services and get to meet people, discuss things, and there's a whole range of different activities to whatever suits you.
Well, because of so I have a passion about dementia because it's in our family, and my dad currently has Lewy bodies, which is Parkinsonian's dementia. So I want to hold sessions for people with dementia and the carers as well, because I know my mum is very isolated and very depressed as a result of my dad's illness. She feels housebound, and she relies upon me and a neighbour so she can get out for an hour. So it'll be lovely for her to come and have the social aspect with other people whilst my dad's joining in with activities.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And I think one of the other aspects to this is we've had a lot of cuts to the NHS frontline over the last decade plus. We've had the impact of COVID, which has affected services right across the National Health Service. And I know from my own experiences, counselling, it can be expensive. The waiting lists for free counselling are extremely long, and a lot can happen in that time while you're waiting. And the idea that Hope Street can provide counselling drop-in sessions in the local community is very, very important. And also there's those whole range of extra activities on top of that to support people in a number of different ways. I know from the Tuesday sessions, I hear some great things. I'm going to do that, or that's fascinating, this is good. And you can take varying things from it and access varying things based on what you need at the time. To what extent do you feel that Hope Street is there where, not traditional services have failed, but where there's gaps in you've already hinted at this, but to what extent can Hope Street provide extra support for people in Ormskirk that they can't get through the traditional services?
So mental health doesn't last 9 till 5 of a day, and it goes beyond the weekend as well. So for me, it's important to have a place where people can come when they feel they are at the wit's end. So for instance, when I was at the wit's end, I felt like my paperwork got lost in services, and I felt like I was never going to get better, never going to get any support. So this was 12 months into my illness now. And I took myself out in the middle of the night and tried to take my own life. I've put a post on this week about it, actually, on social media, because I thought it's an important time of year for people to see that, you know what, people will go out and take their own life. And it's not because they want to. It's because they see no way out of the illness. No way did I want to put my family through that. No way. But I just felt like I was existing, not living. And I just felt like I was a burden to everyone. And I thought, well, if I'm not here, I'll be better. And people will be better because they won't have to put up with me. And, you know, that's important. Having that space where you can go to when you feel like that. Luckily, you know, my husband noticed I'd gone missing and followed me and prevented me from doing that, thankfully. But I could have been another statistic of suicide there had he not have noticed me going missing. And what about these people who live on their own? No one's going to notice them going missing, are they? They just go out and take their own life. And no one's going to notice them going missing.
I think, you know, that's a very powerful story, and you can see how that's carried through in your passion and drive with Hope Street, which, you know, I've certainly seen. But if there's a community base that people can go to with a range of different activities, with counselling, with drop-in support, and that's locally based, that's powerful. You know, Hope Street, there's a website, I'll be putting the Facebook link on, the Twitter link, the Instagram link, and the website. But as well as that, people can, we do provide an emergency phone service as well through Hope Street. I know that that's something which, you know, needs to be set up more in the long run. But there are also Crisis and Samaritans, which people can call at any time when they ever get to that. But this provision of services locally for people is very important, because then it's there, it's on the doorstep. Yeah. It's not some like abstract thing, sorry we're shut, sorry we can't see you, I'll add you to the waiting list for counselling in like 12 weeks time, sorry we're closed at the moment, go to speak to your GP, you know, all this stuff. It's immediate and it's there and it's in the community.
And if you've got to travel, you know, for that, I know myself personally, if I had to travel on a train, I wouldn't access the services because I have anxiety about public transport. So I know for a fact I'm not the only one who feels like that. So if anybody has to travel on a train, then they're not going to come. So that's why it's important to have something in every area, whether it be an affluent area or a deprived area.
Yeah, I think as well as that, something that you just spoke about then is, I've seen writers write about depression and write about that feeling of just being a complete burden and you can't cope. And it's such a powerful feeling that if you haven't experienced it, it's very hard to imagine what that's like. And having something that you can hold on to, that hope, I mean, Hope Street, the name itself says a lot, that's very, very important. And it's about keeping hope through difficult times and knowing where to go.
Do you know, there's validation as well, too. Validation about what you're going through is real.
Yeah.
Because I used to think, this isn't mental illness, I've got cancer or something. You know, to feel the way I do, because it does have a physical impact as well. Like I said earlier, it's got to be something else. And I convinced myself I had cancer rather than mental health conditions. And I mean, I'm not a person who defines myself by my mental health. You know, yeah, I have four diagnoses of mental health, but I don't define myself by that, because I'm more than that. I'm Sheila Byrne. I'm not just Sheila Byrne, the person who has mental health difficulties.
And again, I think one of the big things you can do as well is moving forward in any branch of life, or regardless of your situation, the first thing you need to do is define what you are. You know, you'll use your name, say, this is me. And if you say, right, this is who I am, this is who I am, this is who I want to be, and this is who I am now, you're moving towards that rather than dwelling on that. It's not that you don't acknowledge them. You say, right, this is an issue I've got. I want to discuss it. I want to get better. But you don't let it define you or control you. But it's the fact that people suppress it and don't talk about it.
Well, that's it. I mean, I don't turn around and say, I'm the asthmatic. Mm. When I've got asthma, do I? Mm. You know, so why would I say I'm the depressive one in the room? Mm. You know, mm. so I'm more than that. Mm. You know, I'm the authentic me. I'm the person that I've always wanted to be but didn't realise.
Yeah.
I'm the happiest I've ever been.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's because I've worked on myself with emotional intelligence,
yeah.
ACEs,
yeah.
NLP,
yeah.
all personal development. I did a coaching course.
Yeah.
And I use those skills now to help other people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And writing my own emotional intelligence course taught me a lot.
Yeah.
And it helped me through the dark moments.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and to develop those skills and tools where you can be mindful of what you're going through and go, right, this is what's happening now. I know what I need to do when I feel like this. And to have those that positivity, that's ultimately where we need to get to, you know. Yeah. Again, we're in. It can be like your career, it can be anything. That's wisdom, that's intelligence. And sometimes people can go through a very dark time and a dark place before they get there.
Yeah.
On that note, I mean, we've been quite open discussing things today, but to what extent is confidentiality important? I mean, you might have people out there who might think, oh, I don't want to talk about my issues, and I don't want to come to meetings where people are asking me questions. So how does Hope Street look after people who might not want to share everything and issues like confidentiality or safeguarding?
So we say Hope Street is a safe place where people can come to, and with regards to that, we have the safeguarding policy in place, which we adhere to. We have health and safety policies in place, privacy policies. We have a contract that people sign, where, including ourselves, where it is a case of what goes on in Hope Street stays in Hope Street. Mm. You don't share that with other people outside. People might not want others knowing in the community that they come to a mental health group.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's absolutely fine if they don't want that. And nobody's going to divulge that because everyone's going through the same in that room.
Yeah.
Everybody in the room has a mental health condition.
They're
not. You think you're the only one who's going through this.
Yeah.
And when you see other people in the room, you will say, oh, they're not like me. They're different to me. No, everyone's the same in the room. Everybody has their own difficulties at different levels. And it's important to remember that. And it impacts everybody in the same way in terms of a physical sense.
I think as well as that, I think we also say at the meetings, you know, if people aren't going to be saying that, you talk to me. You kind of, if people don't want to speak, we've had people who come and say, I don't want to talk, and then they talk quite openly within a few sessions. But again, we respect people's wishes in terms of, you know, if you don't want to speak at the meetings or anything like that, you want to keep things to yourself, that's absolutely fine as well.
You know, that's the thing, there's people come to me and they'll say to me, Sheila, I've got no money this week, you know, I'm struggling, and I'll go and I'll sort them a food bank out. So they'll get a food bank. They'll also get some money for their bus fare if they need the bus fare to get to sessions. So they'll get the money to get the bus ticket for the week so they can attend all the sessions. You know, there's things like that that people are getting access to. We've done benefits claims for people as well. So they've had the benefits claims done. We've had one person move from Blackpool to a local doctor's recently because he was under Compass because of his behaviour when he was mentally unwell. You know, there's so many different things that we're actually doing to support people to make have them lead a better life and a happier life. And one that's not so deprived. So the camping retreats, if people haven't got the money, they're not excluded from coming. It's paid for, and they get a meal paid for as well. Obviously, that's based on whether a person, you know, financially needs that. It's all based on, you know, whether the people, you know, need it financially, because if they don't need it financially, then it's not fair to the people who do need the financial support to do it. So it is always based on a means tested. You know, but however, the sessions aren't based on means tested. You come along and you give your pound donation to pay towards the venue or the drinks, and that's it.
Good. We didn't even mention the camping earlier, but you know.
No, I know.
So there is a lot going on there. And I think that the move to the hub, you're able to organise these things more And then you've got a place where people can go to.
Yeah.
And it's exciting times. I know you mentioned a little bit about the funding for the hub as well, but Hosties is hoping to move towards a charity status in the future. What is it currently? Is it a CIC at the moment?
We're a CIC, Community Interest Company, at the moment. We've applied to become a CIO, Community Interest Organisation, which is charity status. With that, we can apply for more funding.
Yeah.
So at present, we're waiting for approval of the White Moss Community Fund, which is fantastic because that's going to pay for the refurbishment.
Mm.
We've just received 10,000 off National Lottery Community Fund. Used to be known as Big Lottery, I think it was. So we've just received that to get all the equipment for the kitchen because it's going to be a peer support cafe hub.
So there's a cafe at the hub as
There's a cafe at the hub where people can buy a coffee, and it's not going to be extortionate prices.
Mm.
One of the things I'm keen to implement at the hub is cooking on a budget, cooking healthy on a budget, because people think that they can't eat healthy on a budget, but the foods I make myself on a budget are unbelievable. I'll make a soup, just throwing a load of veg and stock in a pan, and you know that cost me about £1 to make. So you know, it's about doing that. So what I want to do is bring to many offenders get a qualification when they're in the prison service. I want to bring offenders in to put them through our programs, as well as working in the hub, volunteering, doing work on the cooking aspect and teaching people how to cook on a budget, because in prison that's what they're doing, they're cooking on a budget. And they use kettles to cook in.
Yeah.
So it'll be great to actually bring offenders in and stop them from being institutionalised.
And reoffending.
Working with the prison, it's an important aspect. I think it's something, there's a big gap there. And something we need to be working on.
Yeah, one of my previous podcasts was about life in the prisons. And I think that when people come out of prison, to give them a sense of meaning, integration,
purpose,
make sure that they're not tempted to reoffend. You know, that's another big thing as well. And I think that's good that, you know, you're upfront about that, because, you know, there's a lot of people who say, oh, you shouldn't be helping those people. There's so many people you can write off. Oh, people with mental health issues to be written off. You know, it's about moving forward as a community together. And I think it's great. I want to thank you for all the support you've given me as well over the last 2 years.
Likewise, Tim, you've been a big asset to Hosties with your speaking and, you know, your book reviews and everything that you've done have been brilliant.
Yeah. No, thanks very much. It's been a pleasure. Hosties has got a Facebook group called the Hope Street Book Club, where people share books. Sometimes there's poems on there, and there's different book reviews of different books, and then people can go. I've checked out a few books based on things I've seen on there, which is really good. Sheila, thank you very much for your time. I would advise people out there to check out Hope Street online, and if you are in the Ormskirk area, feel free to come along to meetings. Moving forward, when the hub opens, there'll also be a point in the community where you can access services. Again, Hope Street is part of this movement to just get people talking openly, to give people hope, to give people support, regardless of where you are. But in the Ormskirk area, it's aiming to become a key part of the local community, and it already is.
Working with West Lancs Borough Council as well now, which is ace.
Fantastic. Thanks very much for your time, and thanks everyone for listening. Cheers. Don't forget to check out all the social media stuff. I'll put all the links to Hope Street. I mentioned that earlier, but Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, the Hope Street website, and we'll put a few other things up as well. Remember, folks, don't suffer in silence and do reach out. Thank you.